good to go. Jeff, what's going on, man? Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Harry.
So my first question for you is, like, where does your story with Rock Bottom start?
Jeez, that's a difficult one, right? I feel like, especially throughout my 20s and 30s, there was multiple examples of when it should have been rock bottom, but it wasn't it until I was a parent, owned a business, lost my mom to breast cancer, all of those things. I mean, I would say if I had to single one out, it was losing my mom to breast cancer 7.5 years ago, watching the woman that brought you into this world take her last breath. That fundamentally changes you at your core.
Right. Yeah. How old were you when that happened? 7 years ago.
So I was just before my 40th birthday. So about 4 months before I turned 40.
Right. And what was that like grieving process like?
Days, weeks, months, it just hits you, right? Where all of a sudden you just are triggered by a thought or a memory and the tears start flooding out. Obviously, when it's fresh, those happen so much more frequently. And through the past 7.5 years, I have less of those and more. I wear a pink wristband on my right wrist to remember my mom. And now I've transferred that pain into power and purpose. Right. But in the mix right after, yeah, it was a lot of tears, a lot of just achiness in the heart because you want to love that person and they're not there anymore. And it's just it's a difficult process to go through for sure.
Right. Absolutely, man. Now, did you realize you were in rock bottom during that? Or was it, because sometimes when you're in something, it's almost hard to identify that you're in it until you finally get out of it. So were you conscious of the fact that, yes, this was officially the rockiest bottom?
No, I think it comes through hitting other dips, right? We think as human beings, we should have this upward trajectory and it should just be this straight line. And we have these dips, right? Life, that's what life throws at us. And that's why the ups and the successes are that much sweeter, right? And through other iterations of closing my business down due to COVID, hitting rock bottom financially from there, really coming to the realization this past year that, you know, alcohol and porn were two of my kryptonites that I had in my late teen years, heavily in my 20s, heavily in my 30s, and making that shift and commitment to not, you know, touch either of those. You know, there was other iterations, but that pain of losing my mom, definitely as I reflect back, that was the rock bottom.
Right. Absolutely. So what got you to shift? What got you to change and decide, okay, this is enough of that. I need to change myself.
Just understanding that life is so fragile, right? And I had grandparents pass away. I had a best friend in high school pass away right after I was out of college. So I'd been around death and loss. And listen, that's something every one of us is going to experience. We're all headed in that direction, right? But just seeing how my mom battled, and she battled on and off for 16 years with breast cancer. It came back, you know, two times, and understanding our last deep conversation was around legacy. And I remember taking her to a treatment and her saying, I just want to be remembered. And to me, I told her I would take that baton and make sure she's remembered. But imagine that you get close to the end of your life, and the biggest fear you have is anyone going to remember me? So I think that was the spark to say, I want to create a legacy. I want to create an energy, a power, a fire in my two sons now that will live on forever and create a dent in the universe because we get one opportunity.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. Now, how did you start to build that legacy? Like what were the first moves for you?
So I had always felt like a square peg in a round hole in corporate America. Mm-hmm. Also, I was still pretty darn shy at that point. I mean, I still remember in a national meeting with 80 people, I'm the last one to raise my hand and to speak up, which is kind of incredible because I speak to companies and corporations now in front of, you know, hundreds of people. But leaving that space and stepping into the uncomfortable area of being a business owner, an entrepreneur. I opened up a gym locally because I was always into fitness. My late mother was always into fitness. That was the start of that process. And then as I was going through that, I still remember a conversation with my wife, and I had hung out on a Friday night with neighbors and buddies till 2-3 in the morning, like I typically did in my 20s, 30s, and early 40s. And I was coaching a fitness class in the morning at 8 a.m. And my wife said to me, "You stink of alcohol. Like, how are you going to coach a class on fitness and bring this healthy mindset?" And it was like a 2x4 to the head, and a good thing where I was like, you know what? Yes, you're right. So it was that iterative process. And I feel like once we understand that it is a constant evolution and we're going to constantly get better, it's amazing how that can transform your mindset.
Yeah, man, 100%. And that's the problem, right? When you're addicted to some of these things, it almost seems like such an uphill battle, to the point where it's like, I don't even think I can start it because the hill seems so steep.
Yes, it does. And I was just talking to one of my clients the other day, and he was a little fearful about posting on social media. And he had put a goal out of like, I want to post 30 days in a month, every single day. And I was like, hold on, you're looking at the entire mountain. No wonder why your mind, your caveman brain is saying, oh my God, this is scary. We can't do it. I said, just focus on the first step this week. Just do one. And if we can focus on just taking one step, all of a sudden we get that progress. We feel momentum. We get more motivated, right? Everybody's like, oh, I'll wait till motivation hits, right? I need to be motivated. I'll start on Monday. Now take action, and then you'll actually feel motivated after that.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I've definitely been there where you set a goal for like the month, and then you're like, well, this seems like a lot. And then you do the first day and you're like, I feel pretty good. And then you just stop because you're like, I'm tired. I'll do it next week.
Yeah. I love to use how we feel, use the environment, right? The weather, we were just talking how it's so hot out where we both are, as reverse indicators. That's exactly what you got to do, right? When the mind says, hey, lay off the gas, take it easy, right? You got this voice on the side of your shoulder that says, hey, Harry, take it easy. You did enough. That's an indication that, no, you need to move. Or I love, like, I've got a rainy day mentality. If I'm going for a run, it's raining out. I know 99% of human beings will look at the conditions and say, I'm not going for a run. I'll do it tomorrow, where I know I'm getting ahead. So I absolutely go ahead and push through it.
Right. Did you always have that mentality, or was that developed over time?
That was developed over time. I mean, as I, and this is a great story to share. As I told you, I was very shy. I mean, I still remember my mom telling me a story. I was like 6 years old, and I wanted to go hang out at a buddy's house, but I was so shy. She had to come with me. Like that was one of the pieces of how shy and introverted as I was. And then my senior class in high school, I was on the male side. I was voted biggest complainer. And in high school, one of my buddies said, hey, you know what? You were kind of a Debbie Downer. And I'm like, wow, where you start does not need to be where you finish. And just work on yourself every single day. It unlocks such a potential. And when you, I feel like so many people are like a golden Buddha underneath. And there's a story of, you know, there's this huge golden Buddha, and there was this invading army, and they covered it up so you couldn't tell it was solid gold. And years and years went past, and they actually moved it into a building. And once the army left, they just didn't understand that it was a golden Buddha. And all of a sudden a piece chipped off of it, and they saw the gold, and they were like, oh my God. And I feel like that's such a great story about how, when we all of a sudden chip off a little piece and we can see our potential inside, then you're on this never ending quest to get better and fully develop into your potential.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Now, how can people at home right now, like, start to develop that, start to crack that mold and unveil that golden Buddha inside, like in a way that doesn't seem so intimidating?
I always love to start with my clients, and I always recommend bookending your days, right? How do you end your day, and how do you start your day? And ending the day is so critical, because you should celebrate, hey, what you did well. And so many times, especially if human beings, we beat ourselves up over and over again for what we didn't do today, a week ago, a month ago. So celebrate your success, prepare for getting up and taking control of your day right when the morning kicks off. And that's no distractions, getting a little water, exercise, meditation. You sprinkle those three things in and you can do it in less than 10 minutes. That will give you control over your mind and allow you to get some progress. And I always tell people, when you start, make it so easy, it's laughable. Like if you wanted to exercise, do one sit-up, do one push-up, one burpee. Like do something that's so laughable that your mind, because that is the battle, right? You face it, I face it, we all face it. Make it so laughable that the mind will say, holy crap, I can do that, and let's do it. And then the other piece is when we do it, celebrate it, right? Like, yes, I did it. Even if it's just one, because what you're doing in the mind is you're giving a little dopamine hit, little squirt of dopamine. And then you're wiring, hey, exercise, movement with that feel good feeling. And that's incredibly powerful as well.
Right. And I guess like the subconscious mind doesn't really know if you're joking when you're going like, yeah, let's go. And so it's like, oh, wow. Okay. This is a good thing.
It is. And how many times do we actually celebrate a success like that? Not very often. And we are missing wiring that achievement to the feel good feeling. And it's no wonder why we stay stuck of, hey, maybe we do it for a day, but then we don't do it the next day. I mean, celebrate. I love that fist pump. Yes. And it kind of feels ridiculous when you do it, but all of a sudden you're like, wow, that feels good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I'm assuming that's the approach you made when you were, how many days have you meditated straight?
I think today was 1,672.
Does that ever get difficult now after so many days straight?
It does. My mind wanders. So I still do guided meditation, and I have some favorites that always bring me back to my breath and focusing on the temperature coming in, temperature coming out of the nose. But now it's so ingrained into what I do that it's just automatic. And that's where the key piece, right? You hear willpower, there's conflicting scientific studies of, yes, it's unlimited. You can rejuvenate, or, you know, it wanes throughout the day. And so many times we should be using willpower to install those habits so they run automatically, right? You've got that system. Our subconscious mind is a NASA supercomputer. You install those systems, you do it 67, 70 days is kind of the peak number for most people. Then you don't need to think about it. Then your mind can be free to focus on other things.
Right. So 67 to 70, that's kind of when it starts to become a habit, you're saying?
It can be anywhere from 21 to 67. That's what neuroscientists have proven out. But, you know, unfortunately, we've been fed 21 days, right, mm-hmm. to build a habit. Well, now we understand that that's like the bare minimum. And many times it can be three times that. So that's why the third week in January is the most depressing week of the year, because everybody's been fed kind of a lie. Hey, 21 days, you're going to make it. Well, at 21 days, it might be the hardest it's ever been, because you still got to go 46 more days.
Right.
50 more days, maybe if it's a difficult thing. So understanding, having awareness of the science and just staying committed till it becomes automatic is so critical.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now for like talking about routine and doing all of that, you have something called the morning fire routine. Like, what is that exactly?
So, and the mantra from the morning fire, and I took bits and pieces and I experimented with myself, right? I always like to tell my clients, like, when we get curious, when we put on that white lab coat, it's amazing what happens, right? All of a sudden we say, yes, this works. No, this doesn't. Throw that away. Keep doing what works. So it was through trials and tribulations, and the mantra is rise, fight, love, repeat. And it's preparing for success at night. And then you're rising in the morning. And I always love to say you're like a phoenix rising from the ashes, right? New opportunities. It's a fresh day. That's what you can bring to waking up, right? Getting some water, getting some exercise, getting some meditation. Then it's fight. And we need that dog fight, you know, fight mentalities. Too many times we're kind of even keel, we're flatlined. You need to fight for your physical fitness, mental fitness, nutritional fitness. And you really need to be energetic, right? Energy, zest, is the number one virtue correlated with success. So bringing that every single day, loving yourself. Most importantly, when you show self-love, when you give yourself grace, all of a sudden you can show up better for all those around you that are most important to you. And then that secret sauce that is just mundane. It's not exciting. It's not sexy. The repetition, consistency, day in and day out. And the issue with consistency so many times is we don't know when we're finally going to be successful, right? Mm-hmm. So that plays in our mind. Hey, I've done it for 180 days. I'm still not seeing results. Well, it might take you four times that. But if you're consistent, eventually you will win. So if you really hang on to that thought, like I just need to be consistent, it could be there. It could be there. It could be tomorrow. And just stay with it. Then you'll ultimately be successful.
Are there ways to control, like motivate yourself for consistency without thinking big picture and kind of getting down on yourself because you're like, this has taken me forever and I still don't feel good?
I love to track it, obviously, and track it on a daily basis. That's probably the single reason why I've meditated so many days in a row is because I use Insight Timer as my app. And every time I meditate, I see how many it pops up. You've meditated 1,672 straight days. So tracking it is critical. The other point is I love making things public, posting it on social media, telling friends and family what I'm doing. Now, 99% of people don't really care what right. you're going to do, but in our subconscious mind, all of a sudden the switch gets flipped that you inherently don't want to look like a liar in public. So what happens? You stay more consistent. You're actually true to your word. And then the other piece is, you know, and this is what I've found in my practice, having a coach or having someone that you're accountable to on a daily basis is so, so critical. I mean, I played sports growing up, you have teammates, you have coaches, you have parents that hold you accountable. All of a sudden you leave college, you go out into the real world, you have zero accountability. So having somebody that's going to be consistent day in and day in, day out, checking in with you is another piece to that consistency.
Yeah, 100%, man. I just went through that. I finished varsity swimming in 2020 and nice. Then the pandemic hit and there was no one, like, I mean, I'm not going to put the blame on anyone, but there was like no one to hold me accountable except for myself. And I was like, what do I do? I felt like I had no structure.
And that's that. You're definitely, you're like out in the ocean adrift, right? With nobody there. And it's crazy how that happens. And it's amazing when you kind of take time and reflect and see, okay, for 18, 22 years of my life, you have accountability. You have people around you, you have coaches. And then all of a sudden it's just gone. And it's no wonder why all of a sudden everything goes sideways. Right. And it's a difficult battle to face when you face it alone.
Yeah. 100%. Now, how can people find, like, let's say people don't have that person in their life that they can trust for accountability or can reach out to, they don't have a coach, they don't have friends like that or anything. Like, how can they find someone that can help them with that?
So I would definitely get out there and search. I mean, they could always book a complimentary call with me. I mean, they can go out to my website, www.themorningfire.com. I love just talking to people. And it's amazing how I have had individuals I've spoken to for 20 minutes. And I just had a guy who was a year ago battling alcohol, down in the dumps, stuck in a rut. He was trying to get pregnant with his wife. They were having trouble with that. And after one call, he said it changed the trajectory of his life. His wife is due any day now. And he literally just sent me a message saying, thank you so much for that conversation. It changed where I was headed. And now look at where I'm at. So definitely grab a time with me and then get out there and search. And one of the key components I would say to your audience, if you're looking for a coach, make sure your energy and that coach's energy match. Because I've had coaches before years ago where I'm amped up and I'm energetic and the coach is down here and you miss each other. Right. And energy being zest being that number one virtue correlated to success. When you're in a coaching client arrangement, and you're both energetic, I mean, you get off those calls. You want to bust down the door and run out. So that's such a vital piece that people don't look at because they're seeing, hey, this success or this is what I want. You got to match on an energy level. That's super important.
Right. How much do you think in terms of like being accountable and being consistent and staying motivated, how much of it do you think is individual and how much do you think of it relies on like a support group or communication?
It's a little bit of both, right? And I would say it's individual. Once you get it set up, then it's much more the community based or being a part of a group. And you know, one of the things I love to do with clients is we've gotten this equation and this process wrong. And I had it wrong for 30, 40 some years where we rely on our feelings to dictate our actions, right? Mm. How are you feeling today? Well, I feel like crap. Well, what action are you going to take? Well, I'm not going to work out because I feel like crap. And then what does that do to your identity? It erodes your identity. Where I love to do with my clients, and I do it personally with myself, and I'll never put, I always tell this to my clients, I'll never put you through something I haven't tried out on myself, because that gives me experience, that gives me authenticity to speak and guide with. But imagine flipping feelings, actions, identity on its head and going identity, actions, feelings. So defining your identity right when you wake up, like let's use exercise, for example. When I wake up, I define my identity as a world-class athlete. Mm. What action do I take from that? I hit the gym, I exercise, I run, push-ups, burpees, pull-ups, all those things that are on my radar, regardless of how I'm feeling, because my identity is a world-class athlete. So identity first, that'll compel you to take action, because you think Michael Phelps or a world-class athlete isn't working out when they don't feel it. Hell no.
No.
They're hitting it even when they don't feel it. And then what happens to the feelings? Well, you feel great about yourself. And all of a sudden you're spiraling upward rather than downward when you're relying on your feelings.
Man. Yeah. Why is that not talked about more? Because like, I never hear about that. That's the first time.
It's so incredibly powerful when you think about that. And I had a client 2 months ago that I was working with, and we went through that exercise, and literally a day later, he said it was the most amazing thing when I woke up, because I woke up and I asked myself the question, who do I want to be today? Mm. He's like, I've never had that in my life. And he defined his identity and he stepped into it. He had a tremendous power, tremendous energy in going through it. But it's something that is so vital. It's what I teach my two sons who are soon to be 14 and 12. And I love to give them the nuggets and the wisdom and the knowledge that I learned that they can implement. And I always tell them, I'm like, you guys are going to be so much farther ahead of me, because I've been meditating with them for the past 3 years before school. And they're going to have 30 plus years on me as far as getting ahead from that perspective.
Yeah. If you're meditating at 14, you've got a good trajectory going.
Yep. So, so true,
man. So you, in your bio, and like when we messaged on Matchmaker, you're talking about like the missing components that are in the wellness industry. Like what exactly are the missing components, and like why do you personally think they're being left out of the conversation?
It's a common theme that we've been talking about, accountability, right? That I think, unfortunately, people come from a place, a good place, that they want to help and serve. But then the dollar signs start showing and they want to scale, and they want to scale at a certain level. And we're missing that personal touch. I think the statistics are like, if somebody signs up for a program, course, seminar, whatever it is, like 6 to 7% of people actually complete everything that they're supposed to complete. Mm. I mean, you've got 93% of people that sign up, don't do it, and there's no accountability. That's why, from my perspective, I flip that. My success rate is in the 90th percentile. And why? I'm checking in daily. Like there's still that personal touch. And I feel like it's just missed many times in the wellness industry. I mean, people want to feel like you care about them, and they want to have that that personal touch, whether it's in a group setting or individually. So accountability is just missing. And those are staggering statistics when you think about how many dollars are spent in that industry, and mm-hmm. only 6 or 7% of people are actually completing it. That's pretty scary.
That is really scary. Like, how do we change that?
Bring it up to the forefront and saying we've got to do better as coaches, as speakers, as program designers. We need to do better for the people we serve. And if you have a low success rate, you can't just sweep it under the rug over and over again. You're just, quite honestly, I don't know how they do it, because my soul, my heart would be just crushed because they haven't got the results that I promised them or that they wanted, right? Mm-hmm. So speaking more about it, bringing out more to the forefront, making it known, and then asking everyone to step up and be better and hold people accountable so they actually get results.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about it, like all these people signing up, hoping to get better. And then the thing is, like, I've done this before where, like, I've registered for a course mm-hmm. and I'm one of the 94% that was like, it's fine. And then you go from being super motivated and wanting to get better to not finishing it and then going, it's fine.
Right.
And then you
spiral down, right? Then you feel crappier about yourself. You signed up for something, you invested your hard-earned money in, and then there was this lack of accountability, lack of structure, whatever it might be in the design. You didn't complete it. There was probably no follow-up, right? Of, hey,
no,
Harry, you need to get in. I haven't seen you in the course in a while, or you haven't checked in. What's going on, man? Let's jump on a call. There was none of that. So you didn't complete it. And then you said, that's all right. And then it was a demotivator versus what it was supposed to do for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the only checkups I got, they would message and be like, are you doing it today? And I would be like, no. And they'd go, okay.
Right. Like, no. There you go. I mean, what? That is freaking nuts. And that's crazy. And you wonder why so many people are stuck, are in the same place, are really operating at a quiet desperation, depression, anxious, stressed, overwhelmed state. Listen, that's a great example you shared right there. I appreciate you sharing that one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I wanted to backpedal a little bit because I had a question about like the accountability piece and like finding someone for you. Let's say there's people out there who may not want to get a coach. They would feel more comfortable in their family group or their friend group or anything, but they don't have anyone in their friend group that either wants to do it or like their goals never align with that person's goals or mindset or anything. What kind of conversation needs to be had from that person who wants to improve with their friends or family?
I would be on the search for others that one, having a conversation with one of your friends or family members and they're not interested, say, hey, do you know anybody who is on a similar trajectory or doing kind of the same thing that you can connect me with? Because I'd love to have an accountability buddy. Or let's say it's exercise running. Hey, you go to the park, you run. Stop somebody, or maybe you see somebody at the car and just say, hey, I saw you running. You killed it. My name is Jeff. I just want to introduce myself. I'm new to the running game. Not sure if you're up for it, but I'd love to meet and have an accountability partner because this is so important with me. You'll be surprised how many people will actually help and be willing to say, you know what? Yeah, I got you, because we inherently as human beings want to help others and serve others. So those would be a couple of strategies I'd recommend.
Yeah, those are good ones, because that's one of the hardest things is when, like, I mean, you see the glory in doing it just for you. You know, it's like, no, I'm doing this for myself. I don't need anybody. And you look at people who, like, let's take an extreme example here, like David Goggins, mm-hmm. who's like, I literally don't need anyone. I'm just a machine. And you want to be like that because it looks like you want to become super motivated alone, you know, like you don't want to become dependent on someone else for motivation or accountability or anything. But at the end of the day, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but when I had goals that I wanted to achieve and there was no one holding me accountable or like no one I could share my mini successes daily with, like my motivation was gone.
So true. And I love you brought up Goggins because I've done his race the past two Marches, his 4x4x48 challenge. Mm. And, you know, listen to his audiobook, read his book, absorb all his content. Yes, he's alone. He does always have help though. Somebody's filming the videos. His wife, when he ran the 100-mile race and he was nearly in the hospital, had to take him. So, you know, it might look, but everybody has help and everybody. And when you're connected, and I'll go back to energy, with other high energy people, you just feel such a greater force. And then you're able to push through. And that's crazy incredible. And you need to search that out. And too often we don't look at, hey, what's my sphere of influence or what's my circle look like? If you don't have some A+ players or people that are pushing the limit, you need to search out others and find them and be around them. There's such power in proximity. And I have a couple guys I coach and they come to the house here on Fridays and I got a garage gym and we throw weights around and it's amazing workout. And we feel so powerful and energized once we do that. And we hold each other accountable.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. What is the 4x4x40?
So that's, he does it in early March. You run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours straight. So it's basically 48 miles in 48 hours. He starts at 8 p.m. Pacific. I'm East Coast, so it's 11 p.m. Pacific or 11 Eastern. Then you run again at 3 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m., and you repeat that till Sunday at 7 p.m.
My body just felt so tired. How do you push through that?
So I've done it twice.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, it was terrifying, right? Because I'm not a long distance runner. I've done a half marathon once. Don't consider myself a runner, nor do I enjoy it that much. But a buddy that was in a mastermind I ran, he tagged me in it, and somebody else that I knew commented, and I said, all right, let's go. I'll do it. And I raised some money for a foundation my wife's on the board of, because my youngest son has Crohn's disease. So it was preparation, right? And so many times we don't prepare for success, where I said, this is going to be the biggest test I've ever gone through physically and mentally, I would say, because you got to have both, right? And getting up and running 4 miles at 3 a.m. is not something that a lot of people do. So I had everything planned to the point where I knew the exact leg I was going to run, where I'd finish, how I'd cool down, how I'd draw up an ice cold bath. I'd get in leg sleeves, compression sleeves for my legs. I'd had the same thing. I'd eat the same thing at 11 p.m. Friday night as I would on 11 p.m. Saturday night, because what you want to do is eliminate anything that can throw you off course. And if you're doing the same things, it's amazingly structured, then you can just go and run. So that first year, I'd say my average mile time throughout the 48 was 10 and a half to 12. And I've got a buddy who's a former Navy SEAL FBI agent, and he's a Wim Hof certified instructor. And he says, hey, once is fine, but you do it twice, knowing what you're going to face, that's where the true grit is. So this year I said, all right, I'll do it again. I didn't raise any money, but now I wanted to get under 10-minute mile for an average pace time over those 4 miles. And this year I did that. And I think my average mile pace time was like 9:31 over the 48 miles.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Congrats.
Thanks, brother. It was, and then the mental piece, right? Like all of a sudden you're like, I have so much more potential inside of me, right? It, the physicality and the physical nature of exercise, so many people think it's just the physical benefits. I would argue the mental benefits are even stronger. They say it's a 12-hour energy boost. They say science says it's a little bit of Ritalin for your focus and a little bit of Prozac for your mood.
Mm, yeah, no, I mean, 100%. And I love what you mentioned about like preparing for success, because you can train all you want and like work as hard as you want to get your goals, but once you like, once you're starting to climb and you don't have a plan, like I know we mentioned like putting goals out for like a big chunk of time can be overwhelming, but if you don't have like a little bit of a plan where it's like, okay, when I start to improve, this is how I stay consistent, it's almost like you're just floating in space. You're like, oh, I didn't think I'd get this far.
So true. And I will say there's other things you can do to kind of trick the mind as well. And let's use the Goggins run, for example. When I'd run that first leg at 11 p.m. on Friday night, what I would tell my mind was, okay, I only have one more leg at 11 p.m. at night. And what happens is all of a sudden the mind's like, okay, I can do that, rather than saying I've got 11 legs to go. So after every leg, I just reminded myself, all right, hey, I only have one more at 3 a.m. I can do one more, right? And those little tricks that you can use, because the, you know, the mind hears what you're saying. And when you take that approach, you're again, chunking it up rather than looking at that big mountain that you want to climb.
Right. That was a big thing in swimming too, was like when we would have a big long distance race, or we'd have a set that was like 10 kilometers straight or something, it was almost impossible to just be high energy. Like, let's go for the whole time, because you're going to burn out.
Right.
So I remember there was one practice, and this was when it was my last year of swimming. I had a bad back injury.
Okay.
So I couldn't kick. So I had a pull buoy on, which is like a floating thing you put in between your legs, for any listener that doesn't know. And I did the training camp practice, just straight pull, all okay. arms. And the last practice of the training camp was 100 hundreds, which is 100 is 4 lengths. So we did 100 of them. And it was like they split it up. So like 5 of them were one stroke, 5 of them were a mix of others, 5 of them had fins on, like whatever it was, but I could only do pull.
Wow.
So the pace times varied, because sometimes you'd have fins on, so you're way faster, or it's different strokes, so it's slower. But I couldn't make half the pace times because I wasn't kicking. It was just straight arms. So I did 10K straight.
Wow.
Of just pull. And that was the only way I got through it, was you would do like a flip turn after 4 lengths, and you're like, okay, well, I'm done the first one. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to do the first one ever again.
Right.
And then after the second one, you're like, well, that's 2 down. I could do one more, right? And then you just keep working your way, because I've also had it where you go into training camp and there's a hard set, and after the first length, you're still like, let's go. And you're like screaming and fist bumping, and then you just burn out like right away.
Right. Yeah. No, I love that. Just focus on one, getting that done. And then what's the trick, or what kind of system that you can put in place, so the mind sees, okay, I only need to do one more. I'm already halfway there, right? When I would get halfway there, I'd say, all right, I'm already halfway there. That's fantastic, right? Those types of little things that you can tell your mind, then all of a sudden it kind of releases the pressure off of the mind to perform, and you can just go and do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You forget about the performance aspect of it. You're kind of focused on the task at hand. You're like, oh, okay, I need to do one more. As opposed to like, if I don't do this one part fast enough, I'm a failure.
Right.
That's beautiful, man. Now, what would you say to people who maybe want to, not even something as intense as the 4x4x40, but like they want to start their goals. They want to maybe go to the gym. They want to do that sit-up. They want to hold themselves accountable by posting it on social media, whatever it is. But they're really stuck on the self-confidence issue piece.
So I was there, right? I actually just showed my first ever live on like Facebook, and my hand was shaking, and I was monotone. I think there was sweat coming down. If you're listening, I'm bald, so you know, sweat comes down the head easily. And I had zero self-confidence. And you're going to suck when you start. Like, let's not BS. We have this misconception that we're going to be amazing when we start. You're not. You're going to suck, but that's okay, because you need to celebrate just starting and have the mindset that you're going to get better over time. And that's such a critical component of success and of starting. It's just, no, you're going to, hey, I'm going to suck. All right. Give yourself grace. You've never done this before. Again, that goes back to what we were just talking about, Harry, about releasing that pressure. When you release that pressure, all of a sudden, all right, hey, I'm going to suck. So what? I'm just going to lean into it. I'm going to get one in. I'm going to celebrate it. Yes. And then tomorrow do it again. And eventually you're going to look back and you're going to laugh at, and you know how bad I was when I started. Yes. Well, that's fantastic. Look at where I'm at now. So that is just, as somebody starts, obviously make it laughable. So easy. Understand you're going to suck and then just do it anyway, because otherwise you're going to stay in the same spot.
Yeah. That just reminds me of, cause I, the other day, I don't watch my episodes after the, like I watch them to edit them. I watch them right after they're posted, make sure it's all good.
Right.
But I have this weird thing where like, I can't listen to myself talk. Like it's just, it's weird for me. But the other day one of my videos started getting a ton of views from like 2 years ago. And so I clicked it to watch it and I'm listening to myself talk and I'm like looking at my questions. And I'm like, and I just sound so shaky and so awkward. And it's like, man, I was so bad when I started. And you keep chipping away at it. And you don't even, once you're in the groove, you don't realize until you look back and you're like, oh wow, I've come a pretty decent way.
Absolutely. We don't reflect so many times to what happened. And kudos to you for watching that, because let's talk about that for a second. Actually taking time to look back and see and say, hey, what worked well? What didn't? What do I need to get better in? That's a powerful practice that we don't do as adults barely at all, whether it's meeting after meeting, presentation, podcast, whatever it is. Self-reflection, looking back, and it might be painful and you're not alone. I think everybody doesn't like the sound of their voice until I think you get to a point where you're just like, okay, that's me. But taking that time, as painful as it might be, that's where some amazing growth can happen, because you're like, wait a second. And I used to be this way when I first started. These filler words.
Yeah.
Well, I needed to go through the pain of hearing myself speak and then have a post-it note on my computer screen that said, avoid ahs, and filler words. Just pause. That's how you get better.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Those first couple videos, I used to do this thing where I would edit the video every time I said,
okay,
because I was so self-conscious about going, because I was just starting. But then the video is just like this. It's super choppy because I said so much. And I'm looking back, I'm like, this is a disaster.
So that's a great one to share with like your audience, just saying, hey, you know what? You're going to suck when you start. Just start. Look at this one. And then people will be like, holy mackerel, look at you now compared to where you started.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
For people out there who are listening and who, again, want to start, and maybe they do have the confidence and they have all the motivation in the world, but they're, again, stuck on a specific excuse, which is, I don't have time to do any of what you guys are talking about. Like, what would you want to tell them?
Number one, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. So when you're talking about Oprah, Tony Robbins, President of the United States, whoever it might be, we all have that same 24 hours. So it is... And so many times we think about time management, right? That we don't have time. I like to focus on energy management so much more, right? Like, what's your energy? What energy are you bringing to something you're tackling? Because if you're answering emails or you're hitting a workout and you're just saying, hey, I'm going to work out until I get 100 burpees in. Well, if you do it half-ass, it's going to take you a heck of a long time. If you bring positive energy and that energy force to the equation, and you do it in 7.5 minutes when it normally takes you 20, all of a sudden you got a pocket of time. So that's one way to get time back. The other is, you got to take a true look at yourself in the mirror and say, all right, where is my time being spent? If you're binging Netflix for 5 or 6 hours, you're fooling yourself. You truly don't want what you are saying you want. And so many people are playing that game where they're like, yes, I want this. But yet they're sitting on the couch for 5 hours a night and they're saying, I don't have time. So you have time. You just haven't made this change a priority in your life. So taking time to map out. I love mapping out. Hey, where are half an hour, 15 minute increments of my day? When you do that, holy crap, you get visibility and awareness to where your time is just wasted all of a sudden you can find that time that you didn't think was available.
Yeah. And that's a big thing with phones now too. Eh? Like I started really being mindful of how much time I spent on my phone because I would spend just too much. And my numbers seem like rookie numbers for some of the people out there who are addicted to their phones. But when you stop using your phone so much and try to fight that urge of, oh, I should look. You're sitting there and you're like, I have so much time on my hands. I'm like, what do I do now? Like you forget because the phone is something, social media is something, YouTube, Netflix, like you mentioned, anything. You get sucked into it so fast and an hour feels like 10 minutes. It's crazy.
It's so terribly addictive. And I put app limits on my phone related to social media. So it'll pop up. Hey, you want to look at it for one more minute, 15 minutes, or ignore the limit for today. And at least that little barrier causes me to think, hey, do I really need to? No, let me put it away. Let me move forward.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the problem now is, and like, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but there's no, you used to be able to scroll on social media and get to the bottom and be like, all right, you're all up to date.
Right.
And now you just keep going. They've eliminated that feature.
Yeah. It's crazy how much we are addicted to our phones and those social media platforms. I mean, you are going up against the most advanced artificial intelligence in the history of the world. And it's not a fair fight. You're losing that fight. So you got to either lock it away, put it upstairs. And it's such an interesting practice to get into because all of a sudden you feel like, oh my gosh, is somebody like, you can feel that pull. But then when you get past that pull, it's just such a freeing feeling where you're like, somebody can get a hold of me if they want. And you can just go about your day and you can be so much more productive, so much more focused, so much more energized. And that's truly where, you know, some great progress can occur.
Yeah. 100%, man. Now, Jeff, I think my last question for you is about people who may be listening, who have identified that they are currently in rock bottom. Like where they are right now is the lowest point that they'll be at, but they don't know A, where to start, B, where to find the motivation because they're tired, they're unmotivated, they're self-conscious, whatever it is, yada, yada, like all the things of the book.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have time, whatever else. They don't know how to start. What would you want to tell them if they're listening to this right now?
Number one is today is a gift you will never get back, right? I mean, it's a gift that we get to talk and be on this podcast, and it's a gift that you'll never get back. So it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to start that climb, right? And when you're on the bottom, we feel terrible, despair, depression. We're never going to get out of it. Odds are you've been at the bottom before and you've gotten out of it. And when you're at the bottom, you're on a floor, you're on a foundation, so you can jump off of that bottom, right? So many times we're floating out where we're at, but when you're rock bottom, you have that floor, your feet are, I love to picture your feet and they're in the dirt. There's only one way to go and that's up. So all you need to do is start small and start making progress, celebrate that progress. And then you'll be on that path.
I love it, man. Where can my listeners find you and find all your stuff?
So they can go out to my website, www.themorningfire.com. I put a ton of content out on Instagram. It's Jeff_Wickersham. Got a YouTube channel, Morning Fire for Entrepreneurs is the podcast. Or if you want to grab my book, that's out on Amazon, Rise, Fight, Love, Repeat, Ignite Your Morning Fire. That'll give you the blueprint to bookend your days, prepare for success at night, and then hit it hard in the morning and feel so much energy, focus, gratitude, that it'll really light up your day.
I love it, man. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. I'll put those links down below. It's been an absolute blast today.
Oh, thanks, Harry. Loved it.
And to all my listeners, I will see you guys next time.